This is 91.3 FM KUAF in Fayetteville, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ahead this hour, how the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine is progressing across the state. In the River Valley, the University of Arkansas Fort Smith organized a vaccination clinic on the first day of the semester for more than 300 students and health sciences faculty instructors and support staff who are eligible to receive the vaccine. We'll learn more about the success of that first clinic, as well as plans for more in the future. In his State of the State address yesterday, Governor Asa Hutchinson also looked to the future. He encouraged Arkansas lawmakers to work together during the legislative session and expressed his support for the passage of a hate crimes bill. We'll have highlights from his speech later on the program. After Ozarks at Large on Here and Now, with less than a week to go before Joe Biden's inauguration, the push to remove the sitting president continues. The next step, House debate and a vote on one article of impeachment against President Trump for allegedly inciting the riot by his supporters at the Capitol. That's next time on Here and Now. Today at 1, right after this edition of Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Department of Health reports 1,354 Arkansans are in the hospital because of COVID-19. That's a decrease of 17 from the previous record-setting day. During his weekly briefing on the pandemic yesterday, Governor Asa Hutchinson said while the decline is welcome, more still needs to be done.
With the increase yesterday, day before, we're still got a ways to go to give any real relief for our hospitals. It's still a challenge for us.
The record number of patients on ventilators also declined yesterday to 251, a decrease of 17. Another 40 Arkansans have died from the virus, and Governor Hutchinson said officials are anxious to reduce that number as well. ADH reports 3,209 new positive cases. This includes 25 in correctional facilities. Department of Corrections staff began receiving COVID-19 vaccinations last week. The counties with the most new cases are Pulaski with 405, Sebastian with 401, Benton with 377, Washington with 268, and Garland with 177. Northwest Arkansas hospitals are caring for 124 patients in their COVID-19 units after the previous day's high of 140. Northwest Arkansas healthcare officials also report they are continuing to see a large number of patients in their intensive care units. They are currently caring for 110 ICU patients. This includes both COVID-19 beds and beds being used for other medical needs. Officials say their hospitals continue to have enough ICU beds, along with the capacity to treat both COVID and non-COVID patients without double occupancy. In the event there is a need for additional ICU beds, they say beds are available within the region. Schools returned from the winter holiday break last week, and COVID-19 is already impacting districts. Due to COVID-19 cases and quarantines, Farmington Public Schools is pivoting to virtual learning today with the expectation of returning to on-site learning Tuesday, January 19th. In its latest report on educational institutions Monday, the Arkansas Department of Health reported the Farmington School District had 16 active cases. In a Facebook post, the district said it will still hold athletic events as scheduled on virtual learning days. Officials are monitoring all athletic teams, and as of Tuesday, only one team is not participating due to quarantine and positive cases. District officials say they will continue to monitor the situation and proceed using the guidance provided by the Department of Health and Arkansas Activities Association. The state is moving up its timeline for COVID-19 vaccination for two groups of Arkansans. Included in those groups are K-12 teachers who will be able to get the vaccine 2 weeks sooner than they expected. As Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek tells us, many of them are breathing a sigh of relief.
At Tuesday's weekly coronavirus response briefing, Governor Asa Hutchinson announced the state was on target to vaccinate the 180,000 healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents and staff who were eligible for vaccination in Phase 1A. Given that progress, he said the state would be moving forward to start offering the COVID-19 vaccine to two categories of people included in Group 1B this coming Monday.
And so today I'm announcing that we're going to include, to move to two categories of 1B, which is the age of 70 and over. And the other category would be our K through 12 school staff and employees, our daycare employees, as well as our higher education staff and teachers.
A while since I have felt as hopeful as I felt after hearing that message today.
That's Suki Hires. She's a teacher at Fayetteville High School.
It's been such a struggle to come to work every day and to not necessarily feel safe and not necessarily feel like I'm able to keep my family who's at home safe as well. So this just brought me a lot of hope and feelings of security that I haven't felt in a very long time.
As of Tuesday, Hires District had more than 100 active cases of COVID-19 among students and nearly 30 active cases among staff.
Teachers have always kind of dealt with a lot of feelings of not necessarily being safe when it comes to things like school shootings and that. But, you know, with this virus, you can't see it and you don't normally take bullets home to your family. And we do as best we can to, you know, follow the guidelines and try to socially distance and mask up and stay safe. But it's actually a really hard thing to accomplish in a large school.
Originally, Governor Hutchinson said people over the age of 70 and teachers and staff at K through 12 schools and higher education and child care facilities would have to wait until February to receive their first doses of the vaccine. Now, he says the state has moved up that timeline to get the shots into the arms of as many Arkansans as possible while managing the limited supply of the vaccine.
As you can see, 24,000 was received in the last 24 hours. We've been getting about 50,000 doses a week. I expect that to increase. And so we're trying to set the stage for increasing those doses and getting those out as quickly as possible.
Arkansans who are 70 and older will be able to get a COVID-19 vaccine at community pharmacies in every county in the state. The Department of Health has a list of participating pharmacies on its website, and anyone in that age group who is interested in getting the vaccine will need to schedule an appointment. Clinics and events may also be available through hospitals and other healthcare providers. The process could be different for school teachers and staff.
The school districts will drive it. So if you're a teacher, check with your school district. Are you going to have a clinic? How are we supposed to get vaccinated? And they will have to work with their local provider, pharmacy, or hospital to schedule a clinic or an opportunity or an appointment to get vaccinated.
Suki Hires says she plans to get the vaccine as soon as she possibly can.
I've read a lot about the work that's been done. I know a lot of people feel like it's been rushed, but you know, when you take the entire scientific community and focus them all on one goal, it turns out that a lot is possible. So I am much more concerned about bringing home COVID to my children and my husband and transmitting it to my mother than I am about, you know, any side effects from a vaccine.
Teacher Tim Ruby is ready to get the vaccine, too.
I think like a lot of us, I think we kind of became infectious disease experts in our own mind and vaccination experts.
Ruby is a 7th and 8th grade social studies teacher and football coach at Fulbright Junior High in Bentonville. He says he spent some time reading up on the COVID-19 vaccine as it's been developed and administered to other people around the world.
I think it's just kind of like the flu vaccine. It's just one of those things that you might have some reactions to it, but overall it's been done pretty well, and I'm confident that it's going to be okay.
As of Tuesday, the Bentonville School District was reporting 16 active cases of COVID-19 among students and 7 active cases among staff. And while Ruby says administrators have put a lot of effort into controlling the spread of the virus, the vaccine means he's one step closer to being able to see his family.
I wasn't able to go see my family, you know, this I have a, you know, older parents, you know, in the, well into their 70s. So they live in Oklahoma. So I wasn't able to go for Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything like that.
Suki Hires is also looking forward to being able to spend time with her mom again.
The holidays were really kind of hard on me because I did not spend time with my extended family. So it was really hard to, you know, see people on Facebook and Instagram that were gathering with large groups of families, knowing that they have children that are probably going to be going back to school and increasing that caseload. I'll tell you, I haven't hugged my mother since March. That's probably the thing that I'm the most excited about doing, is giving my mom a big, long hug.
And while both Hires and Tim Ruby say they realize getting their doses of the vaccine doesn't mean they'll be able to stop taking precautions like wearing masks and social distancing, Tuesday's announcement was a much-needed morale boost.
It's really made my day. And ever since I found out, I've been really happy about it, for sure.
Group 1B also includes frontline essential workers, but the governor says that category of Arkansans will have to wait a while longer before they can get their COVID-19 shots so as not to overwhelm vaccine providers.
And if we can bring in our workforce in education, which is about 132,000, that's a lot for our local pharmacies to handle. If they're 70 and plus, that's another 311,000. So we're looking at adding next Monday 443,000 new potential Arkansans to be vaccinated.
Last week, Hutchinson tasked Emergency Management Division Director A.J. Gary and National Guard General Kendall Penn with planning the vaccination initiative for groups 1B, 1C, and the general public in coordination with the Department of Health and the private sector. The governor says they are on track to release that plan on the state's website on Friday. During Tuesday's briefing, Hutchinson also announced he'd be appointing Colonel Robert Ader, a retired Air Force Wing commander, to manage the execution of that plan, which will include vaccine distribution and communication with other state agencies to assist with information sharing and data collection. Ader says he's humbled that the governor is trusting him in that role.
And I thank the governor for allowing us to reach to all parts of government. And like I said, we're going to be using the Department of Commerce. The military department obviously is very, very important to this, but we're using everything to be able to get to this so that we're servicing the needs of our fellow Arkansans.
General Penn also provided an update. He says as they've been working on the vaccine rollout plan, they realize that making it more efficient would require increasing the capacity to vaccinate people across the state.
And so we looked at what we need to do to enroll more hospitals, clinics, pharmacies, as well as, in some cases, private industry has their own health units, and to bring all of those into the fold and make them eligible to give the vaccine.
And while the governor says there will not be enough vaccine doses in the state on January 18th to vaccinate every single person who qualifies for it starting that day, there are enough doses to get the process underway.
And then we're going to be getting additional supplies in. And I expect whenever President-elect Biden indicated that he wanted to shift more of the vaccine in storage for the second dose to get to the state, I expect that to happen. And so while we're going to stick with that regimen of two doses for everybody, make sure we can accomplish that, we do believe that there will be increased supply as we go into the coming weeks.
Hutchinson says hospitals that have vaccinated all the healthcare workers who were interested in getting the shot can also move on to distributing their remaining doses to people in subsequent phases of the rollout. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzana Sitek.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
More than 300 students attending the University of Arkansas Fort Smith had the option to receive the COVID-19 vaccine Monday. A vaccination clinic was hosted on campus thanks to a partnership between Coleman Pharmacy and the UAFS College of Health Sciences. In addition to students, health sciences faculty, instructors, and support staff who have not been vaccinated at regional hospitals and clinics were also eligible to be immunized. to hear how the clinic was received and if the college has plans to organize additional clinics in the future. Yesterday, I spoke with Lynn Korvick, interim dean of the UAFS College of Health Sciences, and dental hygiene student Yuliana Stasev.
It was a joint agreement between UAFS and Coleman Pharmacy. And Coleman agreed to come in and do an immunization clinic for all of those who are in the 1A level of being approved by the state. And after doing just a wee bit of investigation, we learned that all healthcare, everybody in healthcare, be it students, staff, support, are in level 1A. At which point I said to Coleman Pharmacy, when I was there, it's kind of like, well, I want to get all my students vaccinated. And so they offered to come and do the clinic very spontaneously. They just offered, rather than having, 300 students come in and hang out at their pharmacy, with all that traffic, we could have a contained, secure, socially distant environment here at the College of Health Science. So at 12 o'clock, a team of two pharmacists, a tech, and a student came. And they brought all of their equipment, and all provided by the state. And we were able to process just over 100 vaccines yesterday for our students.
Wow.
So that was extremely exciting for us. While maintaining social distancing, we kept all groups under 10, we followed every single guideline in order to be able to provide this clinic to our students.
And Yuli, were you one of the students that got a vaccine?
Yes, I did.
And why did you decide to go ahead and get a vaccine? That's been kind of an interesting question that's been popping up, is that now that there is a vaccine, the question is, do you want it? And so as someone who has received it now, why was it important to you to get vaccinated?
Well, as a dental hygiene student, I've learned that dental hygienists and dentists in general are at high risk of getting COVID. Since we work in the mouth, there's aerosols all the time. And so it was really important for me to be able to protect myself. And then I've had COVID now, and so I didn't want to risk getting that again, even if I did have the antibodies.
How long ago did you have COVID, and what was that experience like for you?
It was over Thanksgiving. I had to miss my family's Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
It was like a horrible headache all the way down my spine. It even hurt for my eyes to just move them. And I was really fatigued.
So how are you feeling? I guess to both of you, how are you feeling now having been vaccinated? There has been some reports of side effects, fatigue or mild things, irritation around the injection site. How are you guys feeling?
Since having it yesterday, I feel fine. The injection site is pretty painful right now, but I kind of worked it out a little bit this morning. And once I got the blood flowing, I don't really feel it anymore.
And that's pretty standard with vaccines in general. They kind of tell you to move your arm around because it gets sore.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. I actually had mine a week ago and had sore arm, just like a flu vaccine, and nothing since. And it was two days of a sore arm. So, and absolutely nothing since. And last I knew, I couldn't find any extra limbs.
Well, that's good. You can let us know if you do, but I'm glad to hear that so
that's
far.
Right. I look every morning,
Well, we will keep our fingers crossed that you continue to have the appropriate amount of limbs.
Yeah.
When do you plan on having hosting a second round of vaccinations? Are you planning on hosting a second clinic for students?
Yes.
And staff?
The follow-up is in 3 weeks. So that'll be on February 1st. We are in the process right now, actually, of getting together the list of everybody who participated yesterday, sending out a campaign and having them sign up for their injections. in addition for their second injection. In addition to that, anybody who didn't receive them initially but wanted a vaccine is certainly welcome to participate. And so we will be making appointments for them. If we get enough first vaccines at the second appointment, then we will go ahead and run a third clinic. If it's just a handful, then they can go to Coleman just down the street from around the corner from us, literally. But if we have enough, Coleman is very willing to come back and do a second round for those who participated in the second vaccine clinic that is scheduled for February 1st.
So if a student or a staff member within the health department at your school goes to Coleman to get a vaccine, is there any sort of proof of identification or something that they need to present? Okay.
Yes, yes. If it is a staff member, you have to present your university ID, and they will verify with me that they are indeed a staff member. So nobody can just walk in. When I got my injection, I had to show them my Arkansas nursing license. I had to demonstrate my proof of licensure. So with regard to students, if we end up having students that have to go over there, we will provide a list of those students who need their second vaccine. And we will take the responsibility, and then they'll take their university ID so they can match those up.
And is there a charge for the vaccine?
If you have insurance, they are billing insurance for the vaccine. And if a student is uninsured, the federal government pays for the vaccine.
And ultimately, how many students and staff qualify in this first round of vaccinations for being a healthcare student or faculty?
About 350. It's just a smidge over, but it's around 350 that qualify for the first round. You know, we certainly want to get as many vaccinated as possible.
I'm excited that I was able to get it. I'm thrilled that the university even offered it for us. So I'm really grateful.
You know, it was just, I mean, to get it organized in 1 week and to do it on the first day of school, people might call me crazy, but you know, we did it. That's all I can say is we had full support of everybody, you know, from the people who had to make the appointments through our Navigate system, from senior staff, from the Dean of Students. Rachel has been huge in getting us coordinated and get the information out there. So it's just been a huge effort on the first day of school. But my belief was, you know, we are sending students out into the community to provide health care. And the sooner that they can get vaccinated, the better off that they're going to be and the sooner that we can protect them. So in my mind's eye, it had to be the first day of school so we can protect our students every way that I can, you know, that I can organize. So I'm thrilled.
Well, congratulations on the success of your first clinic and best of luck with the rest of the rollout for the vaccine.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Lynn Korvick, Interim Dean of the UAFS College of Health Sciences and dental hygiene student Yuli Stasiv. I spoke with them via Zoom yesterday. For more information on upcoming clinics, Korvick says you can contact the College of Health Sciences by sending an email to healthsciences@uafs.edu or by calling 479-788-7283.
From efforts to re-engage with students who have checked out and surging charter school enrollment to preparing for college entrance exams, teaching and learning during a global health emergency have not come easy.
I mean, I have students that I haven't heard from, you know, day one.
I'm not going to lie, it wasn't great because they recently switched over to a new platform, so they made an entirely new way to, like, access scores, register for the ACT.
Teaching this year has been unlike any other year.
The New Classroom Podcast is a special reporting series produced by KUAF 91.3 with support from the Walton Family Foundation. It explores the struggles, changes, and innovations in education that have taken place during the COVID-19 pandemic. The second episode of The New Classroom is out now. You can find it by going to Programs under the On Air tab on our website, KUAF.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The state's travel and tourism industry is showing slight improvement, but is not close to returning to the record-setting trends of 2019 that were continuing into 2020 before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. That's according to the latest Arkansas Tourism Ticker report, which is managed by Talk Business and Politics and sponsored by the Arkansas Hospitality Association. Arkansas's 2% tourism tax revenue between January and October was $11.72 million. That's down 23% compared to the same period in 2019. January through October hospitality tax collections among 17 cities surveyed for the Arkansas Tourism Ticker fell nearly 19%, and the biggest hit was in lost revenue from hotel collections. The full report is available at talkbusiness.net. The city of Rogers has acquired name rights for the convention center formerly known as the John Q. Hammond Center. According to city officials, the acquisition is part of an agreement with JDHQ Hotels, LLC, and the center is now known as the Rogers Convention Center. In a statement, Mayor Greg Hines says he's proud the building bears the city's branding. Hines says the goal with the naming of the Rogers Convention Center is to make it clear people are in the city of Rogers when they are using the space or enjoying restaurants and businesses surrounding it. According to officials, tourism is the second largest industry in Arkansas and provided $242 million in direct investment to the Rogers community in 2019. Benton County and Mercy Emergency Medical Services are announcing a continued collaboration to serve southeastern Benton County residents. This contract, originally enacted in 2018, encompasses the fire districts of the following volunteer fire departments: Beaver Lake, Rocky Branch, Piney Point, Highway 94 East, Hickory Creek, and Pleasure Heights. Residents of unincorporated Lowell areas are also included. According to a press release, the original agreement was signed January 2018 and saved Benton County more than $816,000. This new contract will extend services from 2021 through 2023.
Coronavirus vaccines have been going in arms for weeks now in the U.S. and Europe, with rich nations hoarding the supply. Many other countries still haven't received any shots, even if their citizens participated in clinical trials.
They've used South Africans to get data and thereafter forgotten about South Africans in terms of providing them with access to a drug.
That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered this afternoon from 3 until 6 on KUAF 91.3. Yesterday was a busy one for Governor Asa Hutchinson. Prior to speaking during the state's weekly briefing on the pandemic in the afternoon, he spent the morning delivering his State of the State address to the 93rd General Assembly. Hutchinson is in his 7th year as the state's governor, and yesterday marked the last time he will address the assembly in a regular session, as he is term limited and cannot seek re-election in 2022. During his speech, Governor Hutchinson asked legislators to take the long view and to find ways to work together for the common good. Here is an abridged version of his remarks.
Our first responsibility is to act on the health care emergency that faces our state. The General Assembly has been an essential and effective partner during the last 11 months. Without your action, we would not have built a grant program for small businesses. Without your help, we would not have provided enhanced benefits to the unemployed or additional funds for food assistance and rental assistance. And without your work, we would not have been successful in building the healthcare infrastructure to fight coronavirus today. So on behalf of the people of Arkansas, I thank you for your work through the Legislative Council and through your own actions in meeting the needs of our citizens. And now is not the time to withdraw from the battle. We must not be faint of heart, but we must keep fighting and not call for retreat, as some would advocate. The current emergency rules are in place until February 27. And prior to that date, you need to act. I trust you will both affirm the emergency and continue the emergency rules that have proven necessary during this healthcare crisis. These include our telemedicine rules, our educational waivers, our immunity liability for business and healthcare workers, and other important life-saving measures. If you do not act, these measures will end. As part of our pandemic response, I'm asking the General Assembly to pass appropriations to allow federal COVID relief funds, which have been granted by Congress, sent to the states, to be spent on getting the vaccines more quickly and into the arms of more Arkansans. We need health department infrastructure to coordinate and administer the coronavirus vaccines. We need a continued investment in testing. We need stable funding for contact tracing and support for our K-12 education and higher education. All of these investments require major appropriations and actions on your part. When it comes to our public schools, I support another round of increased pay for teachers. My goal is to raise average teacher salaries by $2,000 over the next 2 years. You have already signaled your support to raise teacher pay. You've paved the way, you've led the way, and we can work together to accomplish this goal. Now, let me move to a more difficult subject. Let me read portions of a couple of letters I have received on a topic that has already generated some discussion: hate crimes legislation. My only request is that you listen and make your own judgment on the merits and fairness of the bill. From Jimmy D. Warren of Conway, who writes in support of hate crime legislation in Arkansas. Quote, Arkansas has always been on the forefront of leading on important issues, with this being an important and an opportunity to take a stand against actors who clearly represent the worst of crimes that are against people for their identity. This legislation is important not just for economic development, but it demonstrates that Arkansas is no place for racism and discrimination. From Rabbi Barry Block of Congregation B'nai Israel in Little Rock. As a people historically targeted with horrific hate crimes, the Jewish community well understands the importance of hate crime legislation. Arkansans would be safer if such hateful and heinous criminals faced sentence enhancement on the basis of their animus-motivated crimes. He goes on to say, adopting this legislation will enhance Arkansas's reputation, much to the credit of the General Assembly. From IBM, IBM plans to engage Arkansas business and community leaders to ensure that all reasonable measures are considered to get hate crime legislation enacted on a bipartisan basis. The time to act is now. The swift passage of Georgia's hate crime law shows that the moment has come. The status quo is unacceptable. We look forward to working with the state legislature to pass a hate crime law in Arkansas. And from 50 for the Future President Scott Kopas from here, Little Rock. Not only is hate crime legislation the right thing to do morally, failure to pass a bill will leave Arkansas as only one of three states without such a law. This would negatively impact our ability to recruit and retain employers and talent, as it will result in a black eye for Arkansas on a national scale that will cripple our economic development efforts for years to come, end quote. I could read scores of letters, but let me make another point. The main objection that I hear from my conservative friends is that it gives some people more protection than others. Or it has been phrased, if you're going to do it for one group of people, why wouldn't you do it for another? This legislation applies equally. If you are Hispanic and you are targeted, it applies. If you are Jewish, it applies. If you are Caucasian, it applies. Or African American or any other race, it applies equally. It enhances the penalty for targeting regardless of the race that is targeted. I've talked to a broad range of people across Arkansas about hate crimes, and they all express a sincere conviction, whether for or against it. And the only way we can come together on this issue is for us to listen to each other and to step into others' shoes who live in a different world than ours. When we do this, then we can come together and find the best solution. Many of you ask that I not have a special session of the legislature for hate crimes. I respected your request, and we are here today, and the time to act is now. Polls show that a clear majority of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents support passage of this kind of legislation. Let's not be the last to enact it, but let's lead and do what is important for so many. In each session, each general session, while I have been governor, we have also supported children suffering from abuse, increased our support for foster children, and we have passed pro-life legislation, and now we are the number one pro-life state in the nation. And I want to acknowledge the First Lady who is here, my wife Susan of 47 years, and she has worked hard to protect the children of our state. And I can't think of a greater responsibility than to protect our children, and I look forward to working with you to make sure we do all we can to take care of the most vulnerable among us. Six years ago, when we started cutting the income tax rate in Arkansas, there were many who said we were going to become just like Kansas. They warned that it would be a financial catastrophe to cut taxes. And yet, because of our measured approach and our emphasis upon private sector growth, we have lowered taxes, fully funded K-12 education, increased funding for higher education, and created not only a surplus, but the first long-term reserve fund in history. And now we are poised to do more. I have set aside $100 million in my proposed budget for the long-term reserve fund increase. And we have set aside over $50 million for tax cuts for middle and lower income Arkansans. Let's work together to determine the best way to get this done. But I have asked for two specific tax cuts proposals as part of the package. Let's reduce the sales tax on used cars that sell from $4,000 to $10,000. Currently, the sales tax rate is 6.5%. We can reduce that to 3.5% and give relief to thousands of Arkansans who depend upon used vehicles for getting to work and school. Let's do that together. But to pay for tax cuts, we need to continue to grow our economy and bring people to Arkansas. If we can lower our tax rate for new residents to 4.9% for 5 years, then we will attract new Arkansans who will create jobs, spend money, and pay taxes. You say, well, how do you know this? I know it because we've done it. By just lowering our tax rate to 5.9%, we have seen people return to our state and invest in our future. According to one study, Arkansas ranked number 10 in the nation for the number of people moving in to our state. And it sets a goal for us as well, to lower our tax rate in a similar way for all citizens. And if we don't get there, the tax break for new residents will sunset. But we can get there together. I'm also asking for support to expand high-speed internet into more rural areas of our state. We have to reduce the digital divide. We have to provide education fairly in all areas of our state. And it takes high-speed internet to do this and so much more, from improving the quality of life to attracting businesses and entrepreneurs. I have set aside $30 million for this purpose in our proposed budget. If we can, let's do more. It is such a great need for our state. And when it comes to our success in computer science education, I ask you to support legislation that will require a computer science course as a graduation credit. And yes, we will have to increase the training of our teachers even more, but we are ready to do it because it gives our young people even greater opportunities right here in Arkansas. It is an honor to serve the people of this state. Usually during a legislative session, there is nothing else but the session on my mind. That consumes my time and energy. This year, it's a little different because of the need to get vaccinations out to the millions of Arkansans that are waiting. I'm intentionally devoting a great deal of my time to that effort, but my door is open to you. Anytime we can work together, anytime you want an audience, anytime you want to share an idea, let's visit. And let me end with a story today. When I was 17 years of age, on April 4, 1968, Senator Robert Kennedy was told of the news that Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. had been assassinated. He broke the earth-shattering news to the mostly black audience he was scheduled to address in Indianapolis. He said these words: "What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence or lawlessness, but love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, and a feeling of justice towards those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or be black." Those words ring true more than 50 years later, but our prayer is the same. Let's pray for our nation, our leaders, and pray for understanding, wisdom, and let us pursue justice for all Americans. May God bless the United States, the state of Arkansas, and your work in the coming days. Thank you.
You've been listening to highlights from Governor Asa Hutchinson's State of the State address, which he delivered to the 93rd General Assembly yesterday. You can watch the speech in its entirety on the governor's YouTube channel. Today, it's common for the governor and the General Assembly to live stream speeches and meetings, making it easy for Arkansans to keep up with state politics from the comfort of their couch. But two decades ago, that was not the case. In today's visit to the Ozarks at Large Archives, we travel back to 1999 when politicians, pundits, journalists, and activists wanting to keep up with Arkansas's General Assembly found the task easier than in the past, thanks to the General Assembly's homepage on the World Wide Web. The homepage debuted in 1997, and at the time this story was reported, the website had undergone an extensive upgrade. A small cadre of computer wizards maintained the webpage, and one of them was Richard Bell. He was the Director of Information Services for then-Secretary of State Sharon Priest. Ozarks at Large's Dan Bennett spoke with Bell and filed this story from Little Rock.
Richard Bell is quick with a smile and a joke. From his office in the basement of the Capitol, he keeps the Secretary of State's presence on the Internet up to date.
I'm her chief computer geek, but who knows what I know?
I don't know.
The Director of Information Systems has always been responsible for the computers for the office, as well as I have some other responsibilities with respect to the statewide voter management system. In fact, we've in the back room here, I have everybody's name and at least address so that we can track not necessarily voting histories, but certainly make sure everyone gets the opportunity to vote, and we know who they are, so to speak.
Bell has been working with computers for 31 years, but this is his first job in state government.
I came from the private sector approximately, I guess about 15 months ago. I was running a business. I was a consultant. You know, consultants are people who are out looking for jobs.
Bell found a job, and he takes pride in being able to keep Arkansans informed of their state government in ways that are unprecedented.
We're giving people unbridled access to information that in the past you just didn't have the opportunity to participate or even know about until after the fact. I think, to me, a good indication was this past spring when the candidates announced, when we had people announcing for public office, and of course they do file their papers with the Secretary of State's office, we maintained a database that allowed people to look at who was running for what position anywhere within the state. It could be a county office, it could have been the U.S. representative, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me. We had an amazing number of hits where people were going out to look at that database, to browse it, to look at various candidates to see who was running in what positions. So that told me that more and more people were paying attention to what's out there. We have all the results from all the counties out on the internet. We have a voter's handbook on the internet that's viewable. We even have a voter application that you can download, and if you want to fill out by hand, you can, or if you want to take advantage of the facility and literally type your name and print it on your printer at home and mail it off to us, you can certainly do that.
You can't register by email, though, can you?
Not yet. No, unfortunately, Arkansas does not permit mail-in registration, or at least email registration. We're looking for a signature. But I'm going to kind of tip my hat a little bit on that. We're working on some stuff that will allow us to accept digital signatures, but we have to get that through the legislature, and that has some other business implications. But I will say that not only am I looking in the future about making information accessible, making it easy to obtain, and not requiring a whole lot of knowledge, but certainly Sharon wants to be out in the forefront on making the public's information very, very accessible, and at the same time, moving ahead as a technology leader within the state.
The digital age may have implications for Arkansas's Freedom of Information Act. Bell thinks some revisions are needed to allow for remote access to public files.
Obviously, we do get requests for voter names and addresses, and they come in via paper. And in turn, they are FOI requests for information that belongs to the public, and we in turn do provide that information. But there's probably going to be some changes where people may very well, and I'm not saying this is happening, but once again, I'm saying that perhaps there will be the potential for an electronic FOI to be filed, where in turn...
Currently, there's not, though.
No, currently there isn't. The state, we require a signature on a piece of paper today. Now, in 6 months, that may very well be different. Well, that's really up to the legislature and some other folks who are doing some planning up there, not me.
Now that the legislature is back in session, Bell and the other information system managers find themselves very busy updating the bills and agendas on the website.
For me, it's a challenge because I've never been through a legislative session. I've certainly read the paper and said, boy, those folks ought to be pretty busy, and I find that even in the Secretary of State's office, I'm out updating computer hardware and software, trying to get prepared for the demands of the office. It's kind of exciting on one hand. It's kind of frustrating on the other hand, because I would like to do some other real neat sorts of things so that I could at least give the public the opportunity to view what's going on, let's say via internet video and audio. Perhaps watch a swearing in live, and I won't be able to do it quite yet, but maybe in 2 years that might be a little bit different. We'll have that capability up and running, and certainly people can watch it. But as far as being busy, yeah, boy, I think as a fella said the other day, I'm busier than a one-toothed man trying to eat a cob of corn.
To visit the General Assembly website, just tap in the keywords Arkansas General Assembly in the search box of your favorite search engine. Drop an email to Richard Bell while you're there. He loves visitors. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Dan Bennett.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Today on the line in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio, we're joined with Mina Kim, president of the University of Arkansas Ceramic Club, known as ACE, Association of Ceramic Enthusiasts.
ACE is Association of Ceramic Enthusiasts. It has several years running, majorly by grad students and post-bac students and undergrad students in Ceramic Department of School of Art at the University of Arkansas. And we usually throw a lot of events for the local community, especially in Northwest Arkansas, and facilitating conversation about art and art experience throughout our own work.
Now, y'all have got something, a real neat exhibition coming up. It's taking place out at Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. It begins this Friday. Mina, describe what this is all about.
This exhibition titled Space is running by 14 artists, including potters and ceramic sculptures of ACE at the Botanical Garden of Ozarks. And this is basically serving the outdoor exhibition and outdoor art experience throughout our own installation and pieces that people can come over and really appreciate the outdoor experience through walking and sensing the art pieces.
And, you know, I was thinking, what a better way, actually, to take in an exhibition of any kind of art for it to be outside, especially now during COVID. It just gives us that little bit of extra safety out there.
Since it is outdoor activities and outside exhibition, we are providing unusual experience outside of gallery or conventional museum space. So people can walk around and it gives more free environment that invites people to be more active and freely discuss what they're looking at, what they're sensing in that area.
Mina, if someone wants to know more about this exhibition, or maybe even more about y'all, what you guys do there with ACE, what's the best way to find some information?
We have our own website called urceramic.org. We have our own blog, and we also have our Instagram platform. It's going to be one-day exhibition.
One day, okay.
Yes, it starts at 2 p.m. and goes through 4:30.
2 to 4:30 this Friday, January 15th. Mina Kim with the University of Arkansas Ceramic Club. Again, it's called Space, and it's an exhibition out at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. Mina, nice talking to you.
Thank you so much.
The Community Spotlight on KUAF, Local Matters.
If you like Cannonball Adderley or Cassandra Wilson, tune in this Saturday at 10 o'clock for the Jazz Scoop. My name is Rob Wells, and each week I play 2 hours of fantastic jazz music, a mix of old favorites and little-known artists, all on the Jazz Scoop, 10 o'clock every Saturday night on KUAF, National Public Radio from Northwest Arkansas.
This is 91.3 FM in Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Van Buren, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas. Contributors today included Susanna Sitek and Pete Hartman, and Daniel Carruth curated our story from the Ozarks at Large archives. Thank you to Timothy Dennis for mixing and mastering today's show. Our theme song is written and performed by Daryl Sean. Coming up on tomorrow's edition of the program, we'll have an update on a partnership between the state and Baptist Health to create alternative care sites. You can learn more tomorrow at noon and 7. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday.